My name is T, motherfucking J, motherfucking Kirk, here with Paul Zego and some dude named Scotty. First, we're going to be talking about nature's candy. I'm speaking, of course, of cigarettes, the greatest invention of all time. And you'll find out which cigarette is most recommended by doctors tonight on Deep Fat Fried. You'll also take a journey into the life of Mr. Steven Seagal and his illustrious, powerful career, as well as his boyish handsomeness. All that and more tonight, Deep Fat Fried, bitch.
Fat of Fried!
Oh, mother fucking yes. Welcome to yet another edition of Deep Fat Fried, the show that's always just on time.
Yep.
Hey, there's still 10 minutes left in the day that we were supposed to shoot this on. This counts as us being on time.
Absolutely.
My name is TJ.
My name is Scotty, and I like to suck big dicks.
I like to smoke 10 cigarettes a minute.
Dude, I wonder how hard it's going to be for TJ to get through this cigarette segment without
especially,
a cigarette.
Especially given the fact that I smoked my last cigarette, not my last ever, obviously, but my last cigarette in my pack before we did this. So I ain't got no cigarettes.
I can't believe you made that last cigarette video, dude. That was like the biggest mistake. And I knew that when you made it. I was like, there's no way this motherfucker's quitting.
That's a shame, TJ. Looks like you should have bought your Winston's in a carton. The carton that comes with a coupon for a free pack of cigarettes.
Hell yeah. That sounds awesome. They need deals like that again.
Smooth, relaxing, bracing smoke.
Listen, guys, before we even get into the topic of cigarettes,
you have something you have to air out or what?
Yeah.
It's something to air out, TJ. You have a grievance to be filed.
Yeah, you know what? You guys know how insanely fickle I am.
Mm-hmm. We do.
And just sick of doing this show.
Wow.
You know, TJ, I'm sick of fucking looking at your ugly face. You know what? I'm fucking done with doing this show.
Shit. All right, guys. Well, I'll be taking over Deep Fat Fried then.
No, I'm afraid we're going to have a long legal battle to decide who gets Deep Fat Fried. I apologize, Paul, but that's just how it's got to be, man. That's just how it's got to be.
That's insane.
All because of my fickleness, too.
How it's fickle crazy. Could you be?
I'm super fickle. Super fickle.
You're fickle.
You know, I can't, you know, I start these new projects, I'm all excited, then we get 5 episodes in, I'm like, you know what, fuck this show.
Yeah, this show sucks.
Let's get
out of here.
This show peaked around episode 2 or 3, and it's been just
I was feeling episode 2
decline.
It peaked on episode 1, dude.
Decline.
Fucking the Tim Allen episode.
We're never going to recapture the Tim Allen magic, dude.
It's impossible.
We can't just throw any old Hollywood has-been up on here and expect the same results.
It's like trying to capture lightning in a bottle, TJ. You just can't do it.
The show has run its... Gentlemen, the show has run its course.
It's run its course.
The show has run its fucking course. Anyway, if you guys want to contribute to our Patreon, that's down below.
It's linked below.
For those of you who don't know, we're not starting this next month. We're starting it in March.
March 1st.
As of March 1st... the show is halfway going behind a fucking paywall. You have the next 6 or 7 days plus a month to figure out whether or not you like this show enough to want a double dose of it. We're still going to release the Monday show, the increasingly poorly named Monday show.
the Sunday morning show. Or the
Tuesday
morning.
What the fuck are you talking about? Are we going back in time and releasing?
I don't know, dude.
The time travel show with Paul.
But yeah, we're going to release those publicly for, continuing forward after March 1st. But the Friday shows we're going to do, first of all, we're going to do the Friday shows live. So you're going to get a live show. We're going to do them on a crowd something. Crowdsource or
Crowdcast.
Crowdcast. Thank you, Scotty.
Through Patreon.
And it's going to be available to our patrons only. So it's up to you in the next month and few days to decide, do I like this show enough to Want a double dose of it, or is one a week good enough
and
for me?
Coming early next month, for the people who actually already have signed up, we're going to do something special for you guys, our earliest patrons. So there is going to be some bonus content coming your guys'
way. Considering that you people have signed up this month without that reward being in place yet, we're just going to do some kind of big special thing that's just for you guys.
Cool.
So we'll have a big special episode.
Also, we now have all the links for the audio versions of our show down below.
iTunes.
Also, we'll do iTunes.
Stitcher.
If you want to just keep up with us on iTunes or any of those services, just go there and subscribe. And
SoundCloud.
You'll get all the episodes. They're all right there. And you can listen to them.
So there we go. We're at three places so far, audio-wise. Also, I think we're going to let... I think it is we don't have this on our Patreon yet, but I think as a bonus to our patrons, we're going to release episodes to them slightly early as MP3s.
Well, because we suck at keeping this Monday schedule, we're actually going to start recording on Sunday.
Yeah.
So starting next week, you guys are going to probably get it Sunday night or early Monday morning. And you're gonna
There you go.
And you're going to have it all day, and then we're going to probably put it out Monday night. So, cool.
So that's going to be good. Everyone can do that. Everyone can get a pair of big jiggly titties in their face. Let's talk about cigarettes.
Let's do that. How much do you want a cigarette right now, TJ?
On a scale from 1 to 10, I'm probably at about a...
How desperate?
6.5.
You're at like a 6.5, 10 being like absolutely willing to fucking rape your way through a kindergarten for a cigarette?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly correct.
Well, that's pretty dangerous.
We have three perspectives on cigarettes tonight. Paul, ex-smoker here.
Yep.
I have never been a smoker. I've smoked cigarettes before, but I'm not someone that would actually regularly smoke. And TJ...
And TJ, current smoker.
Hopelessly addicted to cigarettes. Hopelessly addicted.
You know, is it really addiction?
Yes.
You know, when you love something as much as I love cigarettes, you do it because you love it, not because you're addicted to it, not because there's some kind of biochemical bullshit going on. No, it's all about the love.
You're completely compelled.
It's all about the love.
You're completely compelled by your addiction to smoke cigarettes. Like, I don't think of anyone I've known has been more transparent in their addiction to something than you, TJ. Like, I can say that honestly. Even other people that smoke just as much as you. Like,
You're forgetting your own addiction to cock, though.
Well, I mean, I thought we made a fucking deal not to bring this up on the fucking show,
well,
dude.
Well, that was before, you know,
I thought we made a fucking deal, TJ. I paid you money, dude.
Quit throwing that shade. I'll give it back.
I fucking paid you money not to talk about this, dude.
I gotta defend TJ a little bit, though. Like, when I was trying to quit smoking, I was the same way, dude. Like, I had the same cycle. I see it happen in TJ. And I
but did you want to quit, though? I mean, like, what was the mentality that you had when you, like... I mean, like, how long did you actually enjoy smoking, and when did you want to quit?
I started wanting to quit in my mid-20s. Like, that's when I really started to, like, feel different.
How old were you when you started?
I started at 16.
Oh, shit. So, a while.
Yeah. So, I smoked for a long time. And, around my mid-20s, I started to feel like shit, and I started to try to quit. And it was just an endless procession of, like, I'd do great. I'd be all fired up about it. I'd be like, yeah, I beat it, man. I beat it. And then I'd be out somewhere at a party, and somebody'd be like, hey, Paul, want to smoke? And I'd be like, dude, it's been so fucking long since I had a cigarette. I could have a cigarette. Hell yeah, I'm drunk. Let's get a fucking cigarette going. Blah, 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 blah. And then fucking like the next day, I'm buying a pack. You know what I mean? And I'm right back in
it. Well, TJ, how did you start smoking? Why don't you tell that story?
You know, it was, you know how they say weed is a gateway drug, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in my case, it was. It was a gateway drug to smoking cigarettes. What happened was I was smoking weed, which I'd always thought was the stupidest thing, but my ex-wife got me into smoking weed. And so I got to the point where I was kind of used to it ritualistically, like, you know, yeah, smoking. Cool. I'm smoking this weed. And then when weed got scarce, because we were living in Ohio, it's not a legal weed state or anything, you know, the weed dries up and you're just like, oh, fuck, man, I need some fucking, I just want to smoke that weed, you know? And so I just like, you know what? So I could at least have the sensation of smoking. I'll just buy like a pack of Black and Mild, just kind of puff on it, you know, just a little puffing. And, you know, you get to the point where you're just like going through 2 or 3, 4 or 5 Black and Milds a day. And you're like, God damn, this is horrible. I might as well just be fucking smoking. And I had actually that fucking dude, the Investigamer, came by our house to do like this little collaboration video. And he was a smoker. And so I bummed a few off him. I'm like, man, this is fucking way better than smoking those disgusting Black and Milds. And so that's how I started smoking.
Damn.
Gateway through weed right there.
Yeah, you quit briefly. Like, you had a... When you were on Chantix, you quit for about 2 months, but then...
Yep.
You got off that shit. Well, you stayed. You didn't stay on it long enough, one.
Yeah, I guess not.
And he's getting back on it.
Shit makes you crazy.
It... Well, at first, it didn't really make him crazy. Like, he just, like, couldn't, like...
I just couldn't fucking sleep.
He couldn't sleep for the longest time. I think you got over it eventually, though.
Yeah, I mean, like, after I'd been on it for a while, my body adjusted enough where I could finally sleep again. I hope that immunity carries on to the next time I try it, because I am going to get back on Chantix soon, because it was the only thing that actually helped me quit for any sort of prolonged period of time. So I'm hoping that I don't get the fucking sleepless nights again. But on the plus side, when you actually do get to sleep, you have some weird fucked up dreams, which I've always found entertaining. So,
well, that is nice. That's a nice little side effect.
Yeah. So you want to take a look at some of these picture ads? You want to take a look at some of these video ads for smoking?
Sure. Let's do it.
Let's start with the picture ads, because those are...
There's a lot of familiar faces in these old ads.
So here we go. Here's one. This is Chesterfield. Fucking Chesterfield cigarettes.
Yep. Bing Crosby.
Oh, shit, dude.
Yeah, you'll enjoy Bing Crosby and Going My Way, his latest Paramount picture. And you'll also fucking enjoy Chesterfield cigarettes. That fucking top bubble's hard to read, but it says, "There's no friend like an old friend," and that's how I felt about Chesterfield ever since I... first sang for them several years ago. Yes, sir. Millions know Chesterfield always satisfy. They're cooler, milder, and better tasting. More smokers are finding this out every day. So next time, do justice to your tastes. Ask for Chesterfield, right combination, world's best tobaccos.
I like how, like, Bing Crosby's old friend is a pack of Chesterfield cigarettes.
Of course it is, dude.
Hello there, old friend. It's me, Bing.
I've alienated everyone else from my life, but you'll always be there for me, Chesterfield.
So we're talking about 1944, you know, yes. World War II. And I believe a standard ration during the war was people would be given cigarettes. I mean like,
you're at war. You want some fucking cigarettes.
Yeah, you want your cigarettes, dude. Same thing with factories. Like, a lot of people, if you didn't smoke, you wouldn't get a break. But if you took a smoke break, you'd get a smoke break.
So here's this bitch. I guess her name is Ann Sheridan.
Yeah, look at her.
What she did.
ABC.
She was a movie star.
So with the top stars of Hollywood, so Chesterfield is by far the favorite cigarette.
So milder was a big selling point then. Always milder, better tasting.
Look, Scotty.
Cooler smoking.
It's as simple as ABC. ABC. Always milder, better tasting, cooler smoking. All right.
Well, you see how that really got into the cultural, like, zeitgeist, because people like say, people who smoke look cool, you know what I mean?
There's another ABC down here. It's always by Chesterfield.
Oh, shit, dude.
Wow.
Yep.
Always be.
Oh, there's Ronnie Reagan.
Oh, shit.
Future president.
My cigarette is the mild cigarette. That's why Chesterfield is my favorite. Ronald Reagan, dude. The voice of the turtle? What?
Whoa.
The voice of the turtle.
He's the voice of the turtle?
He is the turtle.
Surprised I didn't dust that one off when he fucking became president.
Whoa, dude, yeah, this
the
one.
The voice of the turtle.
This is it. L&M filters are just what the doctor ordered.
Yeah, dude. Doctors love them.
Doctors just want you to smoke, dude.
Now king size or regular?
Filter tip cigarettes, L&M.
L&M filter tips. How at length quality... Wait.
No, it's now.
How at length in a long cigarette quality? What?
No, now at length
now
quality.
Now at length quality in a long cigarette. Okay.
Yeah, Basil Rathbone.
Basil Rathbone.
Dude, if it's good enough for Basil fucking Rathbone, it's good enough for me.
May I tell you why you'll like smoking the new... Was it Fatima?
Fatima.
Yeah, it's hard to read from here.
The name Fatima has stood for the best in cigarette quality for 30 years, and now I say the new Fatima is the best of long cigarettes.
Wasn't she
long.
One of the wives of Muhammad?
What?
Was it?
I think Fatima was one of the wives of Muhammad, if I'm not...
Well, they are Turkish blend cigarettes, so it makes sense.
There you go. That's her right there on the pack. Look at her.
It's Whoa. Like sucking on Fatima's clit. It's the long cigarette I know you'll enjoy as much as I do. It's my cigarette. Signed, Basil Rathbone.
Basil Rathbone.
Well, I'll be picking up a pack of those Fatimas the next time I'm out.
It's amazing how many of these cigarette brands do not exist anymore.
Oh, shit, dude. Look.
Yeah, Lucille Ball be smoking.
Yeah, we got some video of her and Ricky extolling the virtues
smoke
of cigarettes.
Smoke for pleasure today.
Well, if we got video, then we'll just do that.
And Chesterfield is the best for you. That's Ed Sullivan.
Yeah.
Damn, Ed Sullivan be smoking.
Really big show tonight.
Some fucking football faggot guy. Be smoking.
Lucky strike.
Frank Sinatra be smoking.
Damn, that's a big endorsement right there. Oh,
Hank Aaron.
Damn, yeah, dude, Hank Aaron was fucking...
Hammer and Hank smoked camels.
Have a real cigarette. Have a camel.
If you're smoking more now but enjoying it less, change to camels. Okay. Because you won't want to smoke as much if you're smoking camels because they're gross.
Yeah, Humphrey. Dude, he didn't smoke cigarettes. He smoked cigarillos.
Of course, dude.
Humphrey.
He was a gentleman.
Humphrey Bogart, man. What a guy.
Chesterfield again. Jack Webb. And I guess that's it.
Oh, Jesse Owens.
Jesse Owens, but that's not even an ad, I don't think.
It looks like it is.
Oh, okay.
It is, dude.
They made it look like a fucking article, dude. Another ABC, Joan Crawford smoking.
Wow.
Joe DiMaggio.
Less nicotine.
Joe Louis. Fucking Laurel and Hardy smoking.
Damn, dude. Everyone was smoking back in the day.
Wow.
Paul, I don't know who that is, Hornung, I guess.
Lucky Strike.
I don't know if that's...
Sam Snead was a golfer, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Spencer Tracy. All of them appeared in fucking cigarette ads.
Yeah, there's probably way more of these.
This is just a sample.
I like that Ronnie Reagan one, man. I want a poster of that. Turtle.
So here's some cigarette ads that are not necessarily related to celebrities. All right, so here we go. 20,679 physicians say Luckies are less irritating. It's toasted.
Toasted?
It's toasted?
Yeah, so they would toast the tobacco before they rolled it up a little bit.
Oh.
And I call that partially burnt, but whatever. It's toasted.
Milder.
They loved mildness.
That was a big selling point to people. Well, I mean, you're talking about before they had as many chemical additives in cigarettes, so real tobacco was pretty harsh to smoke on its own.
And this one, physicians were recommending this. You know, that's a doctor looking at that like, yeah, these are the cigarettes for you.
What ails you? Have a pack of Lucky Strikes. That'll cure you.
Viceroy's filter the smoke. As your dentist, I would recommend Viceroy's.
Something that's going to build up tar in your fucking teeth. One of the worst things for your mouth is smoking.
Well, that's what the filters are for.
Oh, yeah, dude. It doesn't help.
You know, Bill, you've been taking great care of your teeth, but one thing I would recommend, suck down a pack or two of Viceroy's a day.
Filtered, though.
Here's the cool presidential election guide. And, you know, it's like, hey, Democrats, Republicans, whatever. In either case, smoke cool.
They just came up with their own little fucking... So they've got a donkey and an elephant facing off. And then there's a little cartoon penguin waddling in off the side. Going, who cares about this politics shit? Smoke a fucking cool.
In either case, smoke cool.
I love that.
You can be an ass or you can be an elephant, but you can't be cool.
Another fucking Ronald Reagan.
Oh, Ronnie was cleaning up, dude.
And at least he was brand, like, specific, you know what
dude,
I mean?
Listen to this, TJ.
It's a Chesterfield,
He's
man.
Sending Chesterfields to all his friends.
Here's some cancer for you.
Have a carton of cancer and
a nice day. It's a Ronald Reagan Christmas fucking cigarette.
Ronald Reagan, the voice of the turtle, dude?
Damn, dude. I wish I had a signed Ronald Reagan case of Chesterfields, dude. Can you imagine?
Wow, yeah. You could sell that shit on Pawn Stars.
Dear Paul, noticed you weren't smoking at the last get-together. Suck down a Chesterfield. Love, Ronnie.
Wow, those poor birds.
They look so sad. Why wouldn't they?
They're not sad.
Listen, we perch our case on just one fact. For a treat instead of a treatment, enjoy Old Gold's fine and friendly tobaccos.
So this was like the ours don't make you sick like those other ones do.
What are you guys talking about? Those birds landed on his finger because it's the enchanting smell of tobacco.
Oh, yeah. They were enchanted right onto his finger.
Yeah, the Old Gold's.
Hold on. Let's find out what kind of cigarettes Mount Rushmore smokes. Oh.
Yeah, what were the...
is that Mary Tyler Moore on there?
What were these dead presidents smoking? Oh, Virginia Slims, of course.
Yeah.
That is Virginia Slim in the middle there.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't know. What the fuck it's... the majestic beauty of whatever the fuck that is.
They just put fucking packs of cigarettes next to national landmarks. The Devil's Chimney and Winston.
Big flavor.
All right. So those are some ads that existed for cigarettes.
It's kind of
print.
A shame that they couldn't like. They still can't advertise.
Well, they can
smokes.
Advertise in print still.
Yeah,
I
print they're allowed.
Yeah.
But
no TV.
The commercials we're about to watch, these aren't even allowed anymore.
Right.
They've been barred from the airwaves.
Did Ronnie Reagan sell you on cigarettes now, TJ? Do you really want to smoke Chesterfields right now?
Well,
I mean, I don't know. I guess I
reckon
do.
TJ could probably use a Chesterfield right about
He's
now.
He's out of his American spirits.
All right, so...
out of cigarettes, TJ. Out.
Out?
You're out,
I
TJ.
Am out of cigarettes, that's true.
You're out.
Here. Lucille Ball ain't out of fucking cigarettes. Oh, that's the wrong one. There we go. Let's smoke some cigarettes.
Time for a commercial wow. break.
Oh, thank you, dear.
That's right. Suck it down, Luce.
Hey, the last one. You better get another pack.
Okay.
Yeah. Get me one while you're out. Oh, shit. It's in a safe.
Fuck, dude. She protects her fucking cigarettes.
They know what's what. They got their priorities straight in life.
Well, supposed to like the time, but like, dude, this is probably their fallout shelter, dude.
You probably think that we're making a big fuss over a cigarette. Well, sure. You don't really have to keep this wonderful new king size Philip Morris cigarette in a safe. It's just our way of telling you that they are kind of precious.
The for those of you who are cigarette in America. For those of you who are just listening to this, fucking. Lucy and was it Ricky or
yeah,
some
Ricky
shit?
Yeah, Ricky Ricardo.
They fucking sitting in there in their living room. They're smoking, there. And then they're like, you know, we're out of cigarettes. Then they go back and they open a fucking safe.
Yeah, hidden, and it's got nothing in it but a carton of.
Dude, it was like
cigarettes.
A Fallout fucking safe, dude. They fucking just popped the picture. She took the picture down real quick. They fucking opened the safe.
The only thing worth truly valuing in
the
life.
King size cigarettes.
Never mind the jewelry, dear. Grab the Viceroys.
We need our Philip Morris cigarettes.
Get me a carton of cigarettes.
Got today. Smooth,
my
mild,
smooth, mild, mild,
and easy on your throat. How about you trying them yourself? Just call for Philip Morris. King size the
Philip Morris.
Buy him by the carton.
Wow.
You're going to love him.
Yeah, why buy a pack?
And
buy a carton.
Love you. Hey, what was that for?
You said it so beautifully.
You made us so much money.
You shilled those death sticks so eloquently, honey. Here's a smooch.
It was a beautiful thing.
And it's kind of weird. Like having just the idea of having the characters from your shows and shit advertising you stuff.
Yeah, I mean, these days, if they want your character to advertise cigarettes to you, they just have them smoke during the show, you know?
Yeah.
It's a little more subtle.
They figured out how to weave it in.
So, of all the jobs... where, you know, you wouldn't want someone smoking cigarettes or you wouldn't want to smoke cigarettes, what would you say is some jobs you really, that smoking could adversely affect, Scotty?
I mean, that's pretty easy. I mean, around anything flammable, dude, you wouldn't want to fucking cause an explosion.
Yeah.
That's one.
Like oil field workers, you know, people probably working around gas pumps and shit like that.
Surgeons. Don't want that.
Yeah, you don't want smoke there.
Well, I'll tell you
what. People work around kids.
Yeah. Secondhand smoke for children, yeah. What about ones that affect your body in certain ways? Like, you wouldn't want... I mean, athletes, obviously, you probably shouldn't.
Sure. Oh, yeah, athletes.
Anybody that's got to do, like, physical exertion.
I'll tell you another group of people that probably should not be smoking. Opera singers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Here's what opera star Marguerite Piazza says about Camels.
If you want to smoke a cigarette that's mild and good-tasting, too, try Camels. I did, and I found that Camels have a mildness that agrees with my throat and a rich flavor that I didn't find in any other brand. Try Camels and see.
Wow.
All right, then.
So...
what every opera singer
opera
needs.
Used to probably be pretty, like, gravelly back in the day.
It was like a Tom Waits concert, dude.
Ave Maria, Dominus tecum.
Beautiful.
Pass me a Viceroy.
You know, it was kind of nice, though, in a way that a commercial was just a person appearing and saying, hey, guys, here's a product.
Mild,
as this celebrity, I endorse it. Like, why? Commercials are so fucking complicated now. Like, if they made that commercial now, there'd be, like, dragons flying around. And
I do like that about old commercials.
Like, they're just simple and direct, you know?
Here's a pair of shoes that won't wear out too fast. Come buy them here at this store. It's like, all right, maybe I will.
Dude, all advertising now has to be wacky.
Yeah.
There has to be, like, a fucking dog, like, jumping around, doing a crazy trick, like a fucking
Yeah, now
monkey,
if they want
like,
to sell those shoes, they
a monkey busting, you know?
Show fucking some sports star jumping over the Empire State Building yeah. wearing them or something.
Hey there, low attention span idiot. Here's a cartoon character wearing these shoes.
Smoke camels.
Wee, 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 wee.
So that is kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
Speaking of refreshing, here's a video entitled Refreshing Newport Ad.
Refreshing.
Wow. Hey, boss, listen to this Newport commercial I just wrote.
I expect you to write jokes, not commercials.
Well, this
oh,
is meta.
Listen to this.
Yeah.
Newport refreshes while you smoke, because only Newport combines menthol, fine tobaccos, and a hint of mint. Ooh,
all right, my smoking desire is up to like an 8 or so now, by the way.
Oh, yeah, they're talking about menthol cigarettes.
That's beautiful.
I see why.
I've always said that about Newport. I also say Newport is more refreshing to begin with, more refreshing all the way.
It's the best cigarette a man can smoke.
What the fuck, man?
I don't get it.
What a world.
Oh, this looks like this is a PSA. So I'm going to move that up into the PSA section. Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah?
No, I think
smokers?
What you doing,
yeah, I guess so.
Making myself a new pipe?
Oh, I got something here you want to cotton to. That banker fella gave them to me.
What's that?
Winston cigarettes. Try one, Granny. They is first rate.
Your banker just gave you some fucking
really
smokes?
Good.
Best smoking you ever had.
Best darn smoking ever. Well, I mean, you know, this bitch is already pretty goddamn old. I mean, what does it really matter if her
ass
is
smoking?
Yeah,
she ain't got much. I mean, they got much to lose, dude.
I mean, she's carving out her corn cob pipe. She's smoking that backwoods anyway.
Yeah, you know. What are you doing, bitch?
Oh,
she's smoking up, dude.
You whimsical fuck. She put the cigarette
dude,
in the pipe.
She's smoking a fucking bowl, dude. Let's be honest.
Wow.
That's pod.
Go granny. Go granny.
Granny's
clamp
getting
it.
Baked.
By thunder, Jed. That is good smoking.
Now try it this way, granny.
Now yeah.
Try it this
smoking
way.
Like a normal person, granny.
Yeah, smoking like you're not a fucking retard, granny. Give that a shot. Put the cigarette in your mouth.
Smoke these fucking Winstons. Mmm. My own.
Tasting
good
better.
Tasting.
You tell me these Winstons is the best tasting cigarette you can get.
I may put away my corn cob. That's saying a heap for them.
You know, Granny?
That's saying a heap for them.
You know, I just love Winstons. Smooth, mild, good tasting. Just the best cigarettes a man can buy.
Easy on your lungs, too.
And good for your teeth.
You know, these cigarettes here, they're mild as fuck, Granny. You dumb cunt.
Even mild enough for your dumb ass.
Now, like all our friends are dropping dead left and right from pulmonary disease? Yeah. Well,
emphysema,
these won't do that.
Lung cancer? Not related, though.
Because they weren't
though.
Smoking these mild cigarettes.
Stupid fucks weren't even putting a filter in their cigarettes.
No way of saying how good a Winston is. You got to smoke one to find out.
Well, I
wow,
can
really?
Say this.
Smoke this highly addictive product
good.
And find
like
out.
Cigarette should.
Wow. Man, my desire for a cigarette's gone up to like a 20% now. Like, what is this?
I mean, the Beverly Hillbillies are smoking, the Flintstones
okay,
are fucking
over.
Smoking,
now,
you know, everyone's smoking. Squawk. Hey, get your ass out of here, you fucking dumb shit.
I am Mr. Flintstone.
Greetings, Rocky, my boy. Pack of Winstons, please.
Oh, you like them Winston cigarettes, huh, Mr. Flintstone?
Dude, the cigarette pack is as big as his fucking head.
I mean, it's the Flintstones, dude.
Dude,
you see the portion sizes and shit?
The
are they
best tasted
cigarettes. I didn't think they were the Smurfs. Holy shit.
They're not. It's just everything is huge back then. Like, you remember, like, he gets that rack of ribs that knocks his car over?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, the cigarettes would be huge, too.
God damn.
It's like Texas, dude. Everything's bigger.
I need to go to prehistoric times.
You could beat somebody to death with a pack of Flintstone
really
cigarettes.
Damn, dude. Look at that fucking cigarette.
You really enjoy
shit, dude.
It's like a billy club.
You could beat someone to death
you
with
could.
That fucker.
Dude, that's like the Christmas joint, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, it's what's up front that counts, and that's where Winston steps out ahead of the crowd with their exclusive...
I mean, he's already buying the fucking things. You don't need
yeah,
to
why
sell
are you
them
sell- why
dude,
are you, why are you
interestingly
pitching
enough, Fred addresses that.
The filter blend. choice golden tobaccos, specially selected and specially processed for filter smoke.
Hold it! Hold it!
And what you mean?
What are you pitching Winston's at me for? You know I never smoke nothing else.
Aha!
Yep.
Bam!
Fucking Fred drops the fucking hammer, dude. He's like, bitch, I already know what I want to smoke. Winston's.
What are you doing this commercial for?
I'm already an acolyte of Winston, bitch. Give me them smokes.
I've already got two tar-filled lungs. Everybody, it's all Winston tar in there.
Winston tastes good, like a cigarette should.
Yeah.
See you soon, Rocky.
Rocky, Rocky.
I'm going to go hork up some Winston lung butter. Oh, yeah.
The tar makes you know it's working.
Fred, I didn't know. I mean, it's kind of nice knowing that Fred Flintstone also goes through the morning ritual of coughing a big wad of disgusting phlegm into the toilet every day.
Yeah, dude.
I'm glad he does that, you know?
That is one thing that I don't miss about smoking. I'll say that, dude. The lung. I don't have lung butter anymore.
Yum.
I don't get that early morning glob of dark green fucking disgustingness every morning.
Gross.
And then you immediately go smoke a cigarette afterwards, too.
Like oh, man, I'm glad I cleared that out so it'll feel all right when I smoke this cigarette.
Yep. Well, we've heard a lot about mild cigarettes.
Yeah.
Right? That's been a big sales pitch. Apparently at the time, mild was the word you used.
As people started to drop dead, people
mild
were like,
and refreshing.
So, but what is the mildest cigarette?
Ooh,
let's find out.
No.
Want to give up strong tasting cigarettes?
Yes.
I love that.
With Kent.
Kent.
You want to give up strong tasting cigarettes? Like,
yep.
Maybe you should just give them up altogether. I don't know.
Want to give up harsh-tasting cigarettes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To taste kindly with Kent.
Kent.
Want to give up rough-tasting cigarettes?
Isn't this the same question?
Taste kindly with Kent. Smoke Kent, the Micronite filter cigarette.
Yes, Kent lets you get away from cigarettes that sometimes taste too strong, too harsh, too rough. Because Kent, with the new Micronite filter, refines away harsh
dude,
flavor.
Dude, I need that Micronite
refines away
filter.
Rough taste
wow.
The filter,
for the
dude.
Mildest taste of all. If you want to get away from strong, harsh-tasting cigarettes, now's the time to change to Kent, the cigarette that made the filter famous. Remember, the finer the filter, the milder the taste.
Wow.
Dude.
Treat your taste kindly with Kent. Smoke Kent, the Micronite filter cigarette.
The Micronite filter cigarette.
Shit didn't even have to rhyme back then.
Smoke Kent.
It's got Micronite. What the fuck is Micronite? It's Micronite.
They just figured out people would remember a stupid little
ditty. It's got electrolytes. That's what plants need.
Bruno, it's got what plants crave.
Switch from hot to snow fresh filter.
Cool.
Oh, that's why they had the penguin. I get it because it's supposed to be cool.
As a breath of fresh air.
Wow.
They're selling this cigarette with cartoon penguins at a majestic street.
Yeah, and like, a dude that just called them as fresh as a breath of fresh air.
yeah, that smoke invokes in me. Fresh mountain air, a mountain stream.
Yeah, it's like smoking a stream, dude.
Your mouth feels clean. Your throat refreshed. The fire.
It not only
refreshed.
Not only is it less harsh on your throat, it fucking refreshes your goddamn.
Yeah.
My throat's been kind of scratchy and itchy. Why don't you smoke a cool? It'll be refreshing.
Should I get a cough drop? Hell no. Smoke a cool, bitch.
All those other fellas have that stank ass cigarette breath, but you've got cool breath.
Oh yeah.
Mild, refreshing menthol and the world's most thoroughly tested filter. That's Snow Fresh.
Oh, it's thoroughly tested.
Why don't you switch from hot to the Snow Fresh coolness?
How much work do you really need to get someone to test a filter? Just get a bunch of fucking people who are hopelessly addicted to smoking and be like, smoke this. Yep, we've tested the filter thoroughly.
As cool and as clean as a breath of fresh air.
Wow.
Yeah, wrong.
Awesome.
Not even close.
Best ad ever.
Little cartoon penguin skating around. Get the kids early.
Yeah, the kids are like, I love the cartoon penguin.
I'm going to smoke cools.
You know what, guys?
It's a breath of fresh air.
You guys could talk all this shit on cigarettes, all right?
Right.
But Let me tell you a little fact here. You guys, Sky, let me ask you a question directly. You think cigarettes are unhealthy? You think cigarettes are unhealthy?
Obviously, yes.
All right, so in Scotty's opinion, cigarettes are unhealthy. Paul, do you think cigarettes are unhealthy?
No.
That's right, because doctors smoke, too.
What cigarette do you smoke, doctor? Tens of thousands of doctors in all branches of
medicine. I like how these doctors, these actors look like they're like really puzzled. These doctors are really puzzled over, like,
all right,
which cigarette?
Before the symposium today, we have a question for the doctors in attendance. Which cigarette do we prefer? Gentlemen, can we come to a consensus?
Yeah. Let's find out.
What cigarette do you smoke, doctor? The brand named most was Camel. Uh-huh. Yes, surveys show more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette.
Smoke Camels, the cigarette so many doctors enjoy.
All right, so obviously at the time that this ad came out, people were starting to get kind of like
wary,
aware that, hey, yeah, this is not good for us. Because otherwise, why would they even have like ads saying like, you know, yeah, cigarettes may be bad. But guess what? Guess what cigarettes doctors smoke?
Yeah, doctors
Camels,
smoke.
Camels, healthiest cigarette, healthiest cigarette. We can't say that directly, but we can tell you that's what doctors smoke.
Well,
okay?
Of course they're going to market it that way.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
Awesome. Now, today, we don't get these cool smoking ads anymore. What we get are these really shitty, really lame anti-smoking ads.
That is true.
Which I'll show you some of now.
Hey, buddy. Let's take a little
walk.
Oh,
no.
When I say go outside, we go outside.
Dude, this is TJ, though. TJ's got...
Yeah, man, I relate to this.
Dude,
I can see what they're saying.
So TJ has this fat redneck that follows TJ around.
Yeah, it's his pack of American Spirits bullies him.
Yeah, it might be like a little Indian guy because it's American Spirits, you know?
Yeah. How, TJ? Time to go outside. Commune with the smoke spirit.
Over. You fork it over. Hey, when I say pause the movie, we pause the movie.
That's right.
Come on, big boy.
You need to come smoke. Dude, he murdered that kid.
No, he's still alive, see?
Cigarettes are bullies.
So wait, if that dude is the cigarette, does that mean like he's kissing him when he's doing that?
Yeah, he's going to light his feet on fire and suck the smoke through his head cavity.
That also means the cigarette's committing suicide, dude.
And the cigarette just can't wait to die. You coming out here and ending my pitiful existence now, bitch!
There's a whole pack of those.
Dude,
miserable
like
bastards,
me seeks
though.
Existence is pain for the cigarette.
Light me on fire now!
Burn me alive quickly!
Cigarettes are bullies.
They're bullies.
Dude, this one's kind of cool.
Damn, dude. I didn't know skeletons could smoke. They don't have any lungs. Pretty impressive.
I mean, you know, that's how they roll, dude.
This is like TJ smoking in 10 years.
It's a bunch of fucking skeletons smoking.
Yeah.
Cool, smoking.
And then a bunch of weird Picasso painting kids are also smoking. Or not smoking. Oh, shit!
Damn, dude. They fucking murdered her for smoking?
Yeah, dude. The fucking skeletons drag her underground. That's a metal-ass fucking anti-smoking PSA.
I mean, you know, usually these kind of suck, but that was kind of cool.
I don't know. I found some weird ones, man.
This one's called Kill the Monkey.
Whoa.
Please state your name and age. Eric Hamill, 37. How long have you had
this? Dude, that monkey is
badass.
I know. Why would you want to kill it? It looks pretty awesome.
That monkey fucking rocks.
Dude, it'd be good in a fight, dude. You get in a fucking fight, your fucking monkey has your back, dude.
It's a
fuck
cartoon
this.
Monkey with a not cartoon gun just hanging out on
I know, dude.
Back.
Fuck this, dude.
Years. Eric, what if I told
oh,
you
this monkey's
going
to get a little rapey, dude.
You very soon.
My grandpa had one and he lived.
Eric, what if I told you this monkey was going to kill you right now? Do you want me to stop it? Yeah.
When it comes to tobacco,
so wait, the cartoon monkey has a real gun,
but the
real doctor guy has a cartoon gun.
Because only a cartoon gun can kill a cartoon monkey, TJ. Come on.
I didn't know that.
Where have you been?
Don't you understand logic, TJ?
I guess I
Let's
don't.
Snuff the monkey before it snuffs you.
Next.
So, like, I get the idea of portraying smoking as this evil monkey that lives on your back, but why would you portray it as, like, kicking the habit as easy as having some dude shoot it in the fucking head?
Yeah, it's not true at all.
Yeah, that's the thing I object to, but whatever. It was cool. It was cool. There was an evil monkey.
I like the evil monkey.
Oh, this one, would, I remember this one.
This fat bitch needs to stop eating, too.
I'm Debbie.
She has a big hole in her throat. It's gross.
I tried cool.
Blech.
But I couldn't.
I couldn't do it.
They say nicotine isn't addictive.
Who says that?
Who the fuck said that ever?
The fucking cigarette companies at one point.
How can they
say
that?
Get this off of my TV. Gross. I don't want to see that shit.
I guess they did.
That was one of the more effective anti-smoking PSAs, though.
I mean, I still want to smoke, but now I'm just grossed out.
If you went to the doctor tomorrow and had to get a neck hole, would you keep smoking?
I mean, goddamn, at that point, what's the fucking point of quitting then? You know what I mean?
So you would.
You already got a neck hole.
We would have to deal with That's you crazy, walking dude. Around smoking out of your neck hole.
I'd have
hole.
A cool hey, ass guys. Voice, dude.
I'm TJ. Hold on.
Hey, guys. What's up? How you doing? Welcome to the latest episode of Triggered.
Dude, even fetuses smoke.
Cool. Cletus the fetus.
This fucking fetus is about to fucking...
Time to fucking...
Dude, this fetus... Yeah. Dude, whoa, yeah. Yeah. This is the coolest fetus I've ever seen.
Dun, dun, dun,
dun. Fucking parachute.
Dun, dun, boom, 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 boom.
Baby mothers. Please.
That is awesome.
Don't smoke.
There is a fetus fucking smoke.
Damn, dude.
That is the coolest shit I have ever seen in my fucking life.
That fetus was getting fucking his fucking smoke on.
And that fetus grew up to be Clint Eastwood.
He's not even fucking born, dude. That fetus was not even fucking born yet.
I would chill with that fetus. That fetus looks kicked back as fuck. I would invite that fetus over for a fucking movie night and shit. Because he would just sit there. You know he'd just sit there.
You know, fetus.
In his little womb bubble.
What brand is the fetus smoke, would you say? I'm going to go with Winston's.
Yeah.
It's milder.
Because it tastes good like a cigarette should.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if it's good enough for Fred Flintstone, it's probably
good enough for me.
Fetus.
I don't know. Maybe Kool's, though.
Dedicated to all smokers. Well, that's nice of them.
Have cigarettes, please?
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
What?
It's not enough, he said.
Not enough. What more do you want, cigarette man?
Yeah, more money.
Damn.
Dude, I think I see my brand back there.
What's a pack of smokes cost? Your teeth. Smoking can cause serious gum.
Well, my teeth are already fucked anyway.
Disease that makes you more likely to lose them.
See you again.
Yeah, I'm sure smoking wouldn't exacerbate any problems you have with your teeth already, though.
You know what?
And accelerate any problem.
My teeth are invincible. Who gives a shit?
Invincible teeth?
No, that's just ingenuous.
Cancer mouth.
Oh, shit, dude.
Smoking causes mouth cancer.
That's meth, dude.
Is that a zombie?
I'm sorry.
Dude, that's a fucking zombie right
that
there,
That is
dude.
Meth. That is not cigarettes.
Smoking causes the T virus.
If it didn't...
Brains! Okay, this is ridiculous.
If looking at mouth cancer on your cigarettes makes you uncomfortable, look at another part of the pack.
Okay.
That's how Australia
quitting
gets people to quit.
Not quitting is harder.
See, this ad wouldn't work in Britain because those teeth and that mouth looks pretty much like an average
that's
British
just
mouth.
Like, the standard British mouth.
They'd be like, I don't see what the point of this one is.
Rubbish.
What are they talking about? Cancer. That's a fit looking bird there.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah, dude. You know what's what, Paul.
Mouth cancer.
You know what's what, Paul. That's all the smoking ads and anti-smoking ads.
Wow.
So, TJ, after seeing those, do you want to quit now?
No, I want a cigarette really fucking bad.
Where are you at now out of 10?
Probably like 8.6.
Like 8.6. If a dapper-looking guy came in right now and offered you a Viceroy, would you light it up and smoke it?
Yes.
Wow.
I'd smoke a Viceroy. Dude, I'd smoke a Chesterfield.
TJ would smoke like a fucking Bugler cigarette at this point.
Yeah, if someone came in here and was like, here's a fucking Pall Mall, I'd be like, okay, fair enough.
What is the worst cigarette brand you've ever smoked, TJ? Like ever in your life that you remember?
I don't know. That's a tough one.
What about you, Paul? You ever smoke any shit brands?
I had a friend that smoked Camel Wides, and that was just like, they were the worst, man. I hated bumming off of him. I did it, you know, because I was a smoker, but it's like, God damn.
Smokers can't be choosers, dude.
What did you smoke, Paul?
Marlboros.
Oh, Marlboros.
I started on Reds.
Reds or Lights?
I started on Reds. I smoked Reds for a long time, and then I switched to Lights. For the same reason as a lot of the people in those commercials, probably. I want a milder, less intrusive, less tumor-causing cigarette. So I switched to Lights. I smoked Lights for a while.
And those are healthy.
Yeah.
Healthy.
Lights are healthy.
With a Micronite filter, Paul.
Yep.
Smoother and milder tasting.
Oh, you need that Micronite filter. That's what really fucking makes it work. God damn, I want a cigarette so fucking
bad. It filters
bad.
Out the cancer, TJ.
Man, a Marlboro Red would be awesome right now.
Oh, I need a cigarette. I need a cigarette. I need a cigarette. I need a cigarette.
You don't have any cigarettes, dude. Even if you wanted to go smoke one right now, you
could.
I'm
going to have to go out after this and go get me some fucking cigarettes, dude.
Have fun, dude.
I'm going to have to go get me a smoke.
On a journey for the cigarettes.
Paul, you got to come with me, dude.
Why?
I can't go alone, dude. What? Can't go alone. I'm scared.
Okay.
Someone needs to come with me, man.
Oh, God, dude. You're so pathetic, dude. Just go to the fucking gas
station. I don't want to be scared, man. That gas station's closed. That's why I got to go to an unfamiliar gas station, dude.
What? Oh, that one closes early?
I mean, it's 12:32. I think it closes at like 1 or so.
Oh, shit, dude.
I got to go to the one like further down the street.
You're going to have to go like racetrack or some shit.
Yeah, it's bullshit, man.
That's funny.
It's bullshit.
Just get a carton.
Hey, didn't you say
time.
Walgreens is open 24 hours a day?
Some of them are.
Is the one around here?
All
right, whatever. This probably isn't a conversation for the show.
I was going to say, we're doing a fucking show,
TJ. You know what? That illustrates...
Your addiction, yeah.
Yeah, that addiction. That illustrates the power of cigarettes.
Your addiction.
How much smokers truly TJ, in their hearts love
admit you're hopelessly
cigarettes.
Addicted to cigarettes.
Right now, what TJ's doing is like his mind knows he can't get a cigarette right now, so it's just planning out how he's going to get it.
Scotty, how late that place open? How late it open?
And about how many minutes, Scotty, would you say that it would take me to drive to that Walgreens down around here?
Right here, boy.
If it's open.
I'm just supposed to start, it's open.
Just trying to plan out my cigarettes.
Just planning out
God,
my cigarettes.
You are the fucking epitome of pathetic.
Just gotta plan out them cigarettes right now.
You are the epitome of pathetic when it comes to smoking, TJ.
What? That's nonsense.
Okay, then just don't smoke tonight. Just get up tomorrow morning and go buy your pack.
You're being really fucking preposterous right about now, Scotty.
Yeah, that's the power they have over you, is you literally just can't say, hey, you know what, I'll skip them tomorrow.
Damn, motherfucking Walgreens closed, too.
He went and looked.
Dude, you're gonna have to
Holy shit, bitch.
TJ, you're gonna have to go real
Son
far.
Son of a god damn,
you're gonna have to go
bitch.
Real far for those cigarettes if you really want them, TJ.
No, I know where I can get them. Just
I got a spot, man. I got a guy.
I'm gonna have to go like 2 miles up the street, man. Give me your fucking cigarette.
I'm just gonna have to cross the causeway, I guess.
Gonna have to crawl that hallway right on.
Now we're moving on to our next topic.
Steven Seagal.
Seagal.
The most dangerous man in America.
Boyishly handsome.
The boyishly handsome Steven Seagal.
I hate to say it, TJ, but he's just boyishly handsome.
Steven Seagal. I guess he's 6'4". I mean, that's
he's a tall
cool.
motherfucker. Oh, he's clearly tall.
Steven Seagal is a striking and somewhat boyishly handsome, often with a ponytail, action star who burst onto the martial arts scene in 1988, and people don't believe me that 90% of the population died in that year, in the fast-paced Warner Brothers film Above the Law. Boyishly handsome.
Boyishly handsome.
Look at him.
Dude, he's boyishly handsome.
He looks like Trump from the neck down. And looks like a really fat, swollen Steven Seagal from the neck up.
Steven Frederick Seagal was born in Langston, Michigan. Lansing,
Langston?
Michigan.
Where's Langston at?
I'm looking at it at an angle. Fuck you.
You know what, TJ? You're drunk, dude.
To Patricia Ann Fisher, a medicine technician, and Samuel Seagal, a high school math teacher. His paternal grandparents were Russian Jewish immigrants, and his mother had English, German, and Dutch ancestry. The enigmatic Seagal... What's enigmatic about it? Commenced his martial arts training at the age of 7 under the tutelage of well-known karate instructor and author Fumio Demura, and in the 1960s commenced his Aikido training in Orange County, California under the instruction of Harry Ishisaka.
Dude, the more you read of this, the more I think that Steven Seagal wrote it himself.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Steven Seagal, like, you weren't clued in when he fucking described himself as boyishly handsome.
That's
boyishly
a pretty handsome. Big giveaway, but all this, like, because, like, I don't know. Maybe there was one time where Steven Seagal was a pretty badass martial arts dude, but that time is long past.
That's come and gone.
The style of Aikido is bullshit.
Got it.
It's total bullshit. It's not a real martial art.
Well, I pulled some of him doing Aikido.
Yeah, like, let's just take a look at it, okay?
What I want to show at the IMDb page, though, was, like, look how many movies this guy has made. Like, he is fucking...
All right, well, let's go to his movie. Where's that?
Just go back.
Did I pass it?
If you're at the top, yeah, his filmography.
Blah, 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 blah. All right, whatever. I'll just go to his main page.
Yeah, just go to his main page.
All right, so here we go. Filmography.
This is what he's known for, like, Exit Wounds, Under Siege... You know, he's been, but look how many fucking movies this guy has made in the last, like, 10 years.
All right, so.
Look how many are in production right now.
He's got
production.
Three.
And no one's going to see these fucking movies, dude. These aren't movies anyone's going to fucking see.
Dude, he's returning to his first ever movie from 1988, Above the Law 2,
oh,
dude.
God, wow. Please.
Attrition, Cyborg Nemesis, The Dark Rift.
Oh, no. Come on, Steven. Really?
He's been on some TV show called General Commander, China's Salesman, Contract to Kill, End of a Gun, The
Dude.
Perfect Weapon, The Asian Connection, Code of Honor, Sniper Special Ops,
I've
Cartel.
This is 2016. This is just 2016.
Yeah, I've actually seen Sniper Special Ops.
Have you really?
It's one of the funniest fucking things I've ever seen. He is so fat and so rotund.
God.
And literally, it's like they wrote a movie. They were like, well, let's just make him a sniper so he doesn't have to move around much. Because he just, like, he spends 90% of the movie laying on his belly looking down the scope of a gun. Like, that's what he's been reduced to.
How much of the, is he in a lot of the movie, though? Or barely in it?
No, he's in quite a bit of it.
God, and he can't act either. So it's like, so they're expecting Steven Seagal, a fucking washed up 90s action star, to carry an entire movie.
Excuse me. I think it's time for me to show you guys something here. Let's see if you think he's washed up after you watch this amazing display of Aikido.
Wow.
So he's in Russia, pretty much the only place he can draw a crowd still.
Yep.
I don't think this crowd is there for him.
Oh, they're there for him. Trust me. Here he comes.
Oh, shit.
Look at him. Look at that beer gut.
Look at that
hanging.
Dude, his fucking gut is massive.
That big old Dunlap hanging over his fucking karate belt.
Oh, look at this fucking... Oh, God, dude. They're not even trying. They're just... Look at these actors.
Is this... I mean, like, this is bullshit.
Look at him.
This I mean, there's
is
no resistance.
Bullshit.
So, does fucking Steven Seagal go over to Russia because Putin can, like, force people to watch him do this stupid choreographed bullshit?
Yeah, you can either go to a fucking political prisoner camp or you get to have Steven Seagal throw you.
Dude. Is there any doubt in your mind that either one of these dudes could whoop his fucking monkey ass if he actually tried to fight him?
Probably.
Yeah, the only thing Steven Seagal can defeat in battle is a cheeseburger.
Look at him.
Look at how unimpressed the fucking kids are.
Oh, dude, look how fast they're fucking going, too. It's like, it's all choreographed. He's fucking slow and doddering. It looks like wrestling.
All right, give me some borscht.
No, wrestling has more credibility than that.
No, I mean, it just looks like they're doing wrestling shit. Like, they're just, like, taking bumps for him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you couldn't see any skill. He didn't do anything. He didn't do anything impressive. He didn't, like, do any kicks. He was throwing people to a mat. That's all he was doing.
Yeah, the dudes would just rush at him awkwardly, and he would throw them down.
He basically just touch them, and they'd fall.
Yeah, so, like, any of us could go and do that, too. So I'm willing to go to Russia if Putin wants to fly me over there to fucking throw some fucking, you know, toadies down. Like, oh, look at Scotty's Aikido skills. Up, you're down, you're
down.
Bring
my fat ass over there, and I'll just stand there and, like, wave my hand at people and have them fall over. Cool with that.
I like that better. You wave your hand, they just fall.
Fat keto. Eh. Get out of here.
Paul uses his fucking fat energy waves to knock people over.
Get out of here. Shoo.
So,
just pathetic.
You guys want to watch some more of these videos?
Sure.
Oh, of course.
Dude. I have one. I don't know what this is called. Steven Seagal acting tough interview.
This is great. So this is a recent interview with Steven Seagal. Just, I mean, everything about it is amazing.
Hello and welcome to Worlds Apart. It's a plot that seems unrealistic even by Hollywood standards. Russia and the United States, they get so frustrated with each other that their diplomatic communication
each is other.
Cut to their minimum until one famous actor makes a couple of calls here and there and sets everything in motion. Well, Steven Seagal played that role in real life, and he joins us now on Worlds Apart. Mr. Seagal, thank you very much for your time.
Acting tough.
Oh
dude.
My god, dude.
Dude, the fucking
it's like someone brought a bowling pin to life and put it in a big fucking jacket. I don't even know.
I love
what the
it,
fuck
dude.
I'm looking
He's
at.
So layered, dude. And look at the shot they use from like they're totally trying to cover his jowls.
Oh my god.
Watch, they'll do a close up of him when he starts talking. Just listen.
One of the first guests on the show was Dana Rohrabacher, a senator from California, who came to Moscow in June and he was investigating.
Oh my god, dude.
The fucking 90s Matrix sunglasses, dude.
Why is he so bundled up?
Is
this
cold?
A freezer?
Yeah, Steven, are you cold in the studio?
Do you want us to turn the lights down, Steven? No. No.
Dude, it's Neo, dude. He's going for the Neo look.
Dude, yeah, I know. He's definitely not Neo. He's definitely not pulling off that look.
All right, hold on, guys. I want to show you something here. If I can find it.
I feel a little remiss because if you guys don't know who Steven Seagal is, and I think we probably should have said this to begin with, he is basically an 80s and 90s action star.
Do you see this here? This is someone made like a gourd or something.
Yeah, put your beard on it.
And it looks like Steven fucks Seagal.
What? Dude, what?
It does. It does look like somebody painted a goatee on a gourd.
He's a gourd.
Oh my god, a gourd with a scarf on. Oh my god, what is he doing?
So when
Steven Seagal has gotten so fucking fat, dude, like, well, the thing about Steven Seagal too is he's kind of known for telling a lot of fucking tall tales and just lying through his teeth. And,
yes,
you know it really became apparent when he got older because like a lot of these guys like Arnold has kind of stayed in shape, Stallone has stayed in shape, Van Damme has stayed in shape, and Steven Seagal has become a fat pile of shit.
Yeah.
Suspects looking for information about suspects in the Boston Marathon bombing, but he told me back then that.
Looks like he's looking around.
Is he like wait? Is he looking for like, where's my next meal coming from? He's just so fucking
How
fat.
How did you become such an unlikely cultural ambassador for the two countries?
Steven
what
Seagal
is that?
Is
did you hear
How
that
the
grunt?
Fuck about
he
that?
He knew of my relationship with Russia for a long, long time. He knows that I go back in Russia a long time and that I have a lot of friends here, some of whom are very powerful and influential. But he also believes that I have insight into the culture, the heart of Russia, and
man, no one believes that about you, Steven Seagal.
The country in some ways, that's his opinion anyway.
We this is the longest rambling run-on sentence
right.
answer.
I don't care enough about Steven Seagal.
I'm pretty sure that Putin fucking ordered them to do this.
Let me show you. So Scotty referenced Steven Seagal being a liar.
Yep.
So let's catch Steven Seagal in a lie.
Practice together and working together, and I tried
to talk
about
Bruce Lee.
I think he tried to learn from me, and so being able to work with him that day and fight him was a great pleasure for me.
I was going to say, Dan Innocenzo, at one stage, Bruce Lee's number one student. You also
and teacher,
friends with James Coburn as well, who was one
you know
of Bruce Lee's
that.
Students.
You
indeed, indeed.
That's how I met.
You
Bruce
know
Lee
my bullshit.
James okay. Coburn. I was going to ask. So you met Bruce Lee.
True
Tell
James
me about your experiences with Bruce and what was he like and how did you get on with him?
You know, I wasn't around Bruce much. He was the kind of guy who kind of would badmouth most a lot of the other martial artists and martial arts.
That doesn't
wait, how difficult is
so
it?
So wait a minute. No, wait. Bruce Lee went around
bad-mouthing
martial arts?
And martial artists, yes.
Yeah, but how difficult is it if you actually met somebody or were associated with them at all to just tell the story of like, yeah, I met them. Okay, especially someone famous like Bruce Lee. Like, this guy's obsessed with karate. He's obsessed with Aikido. He's obsessed with all this shit. And he has to, like, struggle to recall his encounter with Bruce Lee. Like, sorry, I don't think it's something you'd forget.
In a kind of a sarcastic way, fun way, which I understood. For some reason, he never had anything bad to say about me. And he was quite interested in Aikido, and he was very nice to me.
Yeah, there's probably no record of him saying anything about you, Steven.
He knew that I grew up in Asia and that I had a son that was half just exactly the same age as Brandon. And
minus 10 years.
Yeah, just 10 years difference.
When I met Brandon, he had lighter hair and said, "This is my little Caucasian boy." You know, and
I'm sure that happened.
Yeah, that never happened.
Yeah, I went to go see Bruce Lee, and he grunted, really, "This is my little Caucasian boy.
Look at him."
James Coburn was a great guy, too.
And then he immediately started bad-mouthing every other martial art.
But, you know, in a fun, sarcastic way.
He's like, "You know what's really stupid? Kung Fu. Have you met my little Caucasian boy?
Look at him."
When Brandon was killed like that, they called me a few minutes after it happened. It was in Carolina somewhere. They called me in the middle of the night, and they said...
Did they do the sniff?
When Brandon Lee died, the first phone call they made was to Steven Seagal's fat ass.
"Steven,
we think that he's dead." And
we think that he's dead.
"I shot a blank gun at him. How could he be dead? He's dying. He's, you know, severely hurt, maybe dead." And I said, "You will find a projectile in him. You'll find a bullet in him."
Wow. What? They didn't take him to a hospital. They're like, "Call Soothsayer Steve."
Oh, my God. I don't know if Brandon's going to live. What are we going to do? I know. Give me your cell phone. I'm calling Steven Seagal.
They should have called Miss Cleo, dude.
"Listen, there's going to be a projectile in him. I know there's going to be a projectile."
They would have got the same answer. "You're going to find a projectile in him. Miss Cleo, no."
So let's get this straight. They told Steven Seagal they fired supposedly a blank, basically a blank round at Brandon Lee. And then his brilliant observation is they're going to find a projectile. Okay, so someone pointed a gun at him and he got shot. And the fucking revelation, the thing to be revealed is he was probably shot.
"Look, I stabbed him with a fake knife, but then he died. Like, I'm willing to bet that was actually a real knife."
Yeah.
It's like, "Yeah, no shit, dumbass."
They said, "That can't be. You're crazy." And I said, "You will find a bullet in him." And
No. I've read about this. That never fucking happened. They were never going, "Oh, this is crazy."
Yeah, as soon as the guy got shot,
he was rushed to a hospital.
Everyone knew, like, "Oh, shit, there must have been a live round in that chamber somehow."
Was he sporting a Grandpa Munster widow's peak in this?
I don't know.
Is he trying out for the part of Vegeta or something? What the fuck is going on?
What is that?
Maybe Fat Vegeta.
Fat Vegeta.
He'll be Vegeta when he lets himself go.
Apparently he likes to sexually assault women as well. He's a wangler. So let's take a look at some wangling. This is Jenny McCarthy. Actress is kind of a liberal term for Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah, so. I agree with that.
Hollywood dick sucker Jenny McCarthy.
Casting couch favorite Jenny McCarthy.
Claims actor and producer Steven Seagal sexually harassed her during a 1995 audition for Under Siege 2.
You know what? she got the better end of that deal, not appearing in Under Siege 2.
Luckily, she didn't have to be in Under Siege 2, so all's well that ends well.
Yeah.
The former Playboy model recounted her encounter with Seagal on her Sirius XM radio show Thursday. A day after...
What? Wait, wait, just rewind that? Jenny McCarthy has a Sirius XM show?
Sad. I mean, maybe she did it this time. I don't know.
This is pretty recent, so she probably does.
A day after Portia de Rossi, whatever.
Portia de Rossi, TJ, come on.
God, he's stupid.
I'm stupid because I've never pronounced... I don't know who that
Look,
is.
TJ.
That's fucking Ellen's ex-wife, dude.
Who cares?
Big words, TJ. Big names.
Made similar claims of harassment on Twitter. McCarthy says she was alone in the room with Seagal.
Seagal. She was fucking alone in the room with a seagull.
With a seagull. Flock of seagulls. When he asked her to sit next to him on a couch. After she declined, McCarthy says he began talking about his mission trips to Asia and attempt to get her to sit with him. "He keeps bragging and bragging about himself and watching out of one eye to see if I take the bait," she says. "So he says to me then, 'You know, this part has nudity in it, and I can't really tell what your body looks like in that dress you're wearing.'"
What?
What a guy.
McCarthy continued saying she told the actor that her agent said there was no nudity in the project, to which she said Seagal responded, "There is off-camera nudity."
What? So that's no nudity.
Well, you know what he's saying.
Yeah, of course.
And asked her to lower her dress so he could see her breasts. Cool.
On. Let me see those titties.
McCarthy says she walked out of the audition but claims Seagal followed her and warned her not to tell anyone or else. Or else what, your leader?
Yeah, I'll do some Aikido on you.
McCarthy described the incident as disheartening and made her debate moving back to Chicago. She also says she called her mom right after to tell her about the incident. McCarthy told the same story to Movie Line in 1998. In addition, De Rossi, who alleges Seagal unzipping his pants during a private office audition, the Good Wife actress Julianne Margulies.
Juliana Margulies, dude.
Whatever.
Come on, TJ.
Go fuck yourself. Paul Zago. Told Sirius XM.
Told Sirius XM's Johnny Hoat last
Paul's
week.
Paul Zago.
Shut up.
Paul's now an Ego Waffle.
Paul Zago, dude. Last week she had a similar
ego,
incident
Paul.
With Seagal when she was 23. So he's been fucking wangling his dick all over town, but
wango
no one cares.
To the left, wango to the right.
And no one cares because he has no career left to destroy.
He likes wangling women whose names are hard to pronounce.
We already saw this video, so.
yeah. Here's 18 ludicrous stories about Steven Seagal.
Cool.
Here's just a this one just kind of gets into his women history.
His wangling.
Just
his
fucking stuff.
Wangling.
Here's something that says he likes to establish himself as alpha male.
No way. Are you kidding
what?
Me?
Steven Seagal seems to be very insecure.
Between Steven Seagal?
Steven Seagal. He's very insecure, dude. He's very fucking insecure. Tries to establish authority over all people in any situation, except probably with Putin, because he doesn't really want to nuke up his ass, whatever.
Maybe he does.
According to John Leguizamo, things got a little hairy when the... Joan Leguizambo. Things got a little hairy when the two were called in executive decision, two casts in executive decision. Here's John Leguizamo's story. We were in rehearsals for executive decision. I'm playing his master sergeant, and we come in for rehearsal. He says, I'm in command. Everything I say is law. Anybody doesn't agree? I was like, bwah, ha, 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 ha. I started cracking up because he sounded like a retard.
That's beautiful, dude.
And he came up and he taekwondoed my ass against the brick and hit me with his elbow. He's 6'5". He caught me off guard, knocked all the air out of me. I was like, why? I really wanted to say how big and fat he was. And then he runs like a girl, but I didn't. So all I could say was why.
Why? Yeah,
that doesn't really make you look all that good.
Why, Mom? Steven Seagal? Why are you doing this?
Why are you pussed out?
Well, I mean, why would you show up and then just
he
go like...
He crapped his pants.
What? Sweet.
According to... He crapped his pants when judo legend choked him out. According to some accounts, as Seagal's star... They misspelled his name right there,
they
dude.
Did.
Yeah, that's wrong.
As Seagal's star rose high in a Hollywood sky, he began believing his own hype. Apparently, at the height of his fame... He once claimed to be immune from a judo chokehold.
Oh, God.
To prove his claim, he instigated stuntman and martial arts legend Gene LaBelle to choke him. LaBelle obliged. As it turns out, Seagal was not, and probably is still not, immune to judo. LaBelle choked old Stevie till he passed out and crapped his pants.
I don't care if it's true or not. That's beautiful.
Now, I've decided that that's true.
Yeah, me too, but I really hope it's true.
This roll of fat protects me from
buddies. He's buddies with Vladimir Putin. We know that.
We know that.
He owns a bulletproof leather jacket that looks like a kimono.
Okay.
That is the gayest shit I've ever heard. He tells dubious tales about his past. We know that.
Yeah, we've looked into that.
A dead puppy, 115 euthanized chickens, and a house crushed by a tank for reality TV. What? At one point, Seagal had his own reality show, Steven Seagal Lawman. On the show, he played a cop for real in Maricopa County, Arizona, alongside pillar of the community Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who once said, I don't use email or U-mail or whatever it's called. Boyish hijinks ensued. During one arrest, Steven bravely drove a SWAT tank through the front wall of a notorious cockfighting master criminal Jesus Lavera's compound. Lavera's alleged crime was keeping 115 chickens on his property to use in illegal fights. Someone forgot the first rule of Chicken Fight Club and squawked to Seagal.
That's horrible.
I mean, Seagal has to fight for his fellow birds, dude. He's got to stand for his fellow poultry.
So his puppy was killed, and 115 chickens were euthanized.
So he ran over the puppy with his stupid fucking
God,
tank.
What an idiot!
To go save some chickens.
What a fucking hero!
And then he went to KFC.
He has taken credit for multiple UFC. Okay, we have to read this one.
According to Seagal, he not only taught Anderson Silva the kick he used to knock out Victor Belfort, but also provided strategy that led to the first KO in the championship bout.
Yeah, I don't think so.
During an interview with Jimmy Kimmel in 2012, Seagal took credit for more UFC wins. I am teaching Anderson Silva, Lyoto Machida. I don't know how that's pronounced. I show them, you know, a lot. I'm, like, really smart. Not everything I know, but I show them punches and what we call ashi sabaki, which means how to move with your feet, how you enter, hand angle, joints, but mostly I'm teaching them kicks and punches. I'm sure they already knew how to do that, being UFC fighters. There is a signature kick that I've taught them that they've knocked champions out with and won world championships with. Silva dismissed Seagal's claims and distanced himself from old Stevie in 2013.
Is it the same kick he uses to get himself out of his Barca lounger to go get another fucking chicken leg?
Yeah. In 2015, a video appeared on YouTube showing Silva and his team mocking Seagal's training techniques. Many believe Seagal's association with UFC was a publicity stunt by the league.
Clearly.
What a bad publicity stunt. Look at him, dude.
That kick.
I mean, I could kick that fucking high.
That's
dude.
Pathetic, dude.
Steven Seagal, he's a vegetarian and animal rights guy. Yeah, well, they ran over a puppy, so he kind of ruined it.
Yeah.
I guess that means he didn't eat KFC afterwards, though.
Damn, he's got an energy drink?
Whoa, dude.
Yeah, it's called Lightning Bolt. Lightning Bolt! Lightning Bolt!
I was thinking the same thing.
Okay, whatever. He's got an energy drink. What is this? A profile in Vanity Fair says it all. One day, an executive walked into Seagal's trailer and found Hollywood's reigning manly man weeping. Oh, I'm reading this script, Seagal explained, still misty. The most incredible script I've ever read. That's fantastic, the executive said. Who wrote it? Seagal didn't miss a beat. I did, he replied.
Damn.
What an egomaniacal fuck, dude.
Weeping at his own brilliance.
I'm so fucking brilliant.
Under Siege 3 is gonna fucking change the world.
Under Siege fucking 3.
Under Siege 3.
The cook is back. Oh, God.
Exit Wounds 2.
His music is terrible. His lyrics are genius.
We actually have some of his music a little bit.
Do we?
We do.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, fuck this. Let's look at that.
Yeah, we got a whole fucking music video of Steven Seagal. Whoa, that's a big old hamburger.
We'll save that for a little later.
Maybe that's how he got fat.
I don't know. All right.
There you go. Oh, yeah.
I hope there's no copyright on this piece of shit.
I severely doubt it.
Girl, it's all right.
So this is Steven Seagal wrote and sings the song?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
That's just his backup band there. There he is. And dude, I love this video because his Asian philia comes fucking showing through. He's got like this 20-year-old like Japanese girl. That's his love interest in the song.
Okay. And now I have everything.
So talented, dude. And an actor, musician. Stay, no matter what. Why don't they show us him playing? Brings. See him playing. See them playing. Steven, we don't see you play guitar. Something so Steven, why aren't you playing guitar, dude? We saw you play a second ago. Whisper your wildest dreams. But girl, it's all right by me. Girl, it's all
right. He just, like, his voice just never goes above that one little octave there. He's just...
It's all right. I never see one of my babies. I'll say to baby. Well, one, he obviously can't really play guitar. I mean, all the shots are purposely shot. Just above
Excuse
what he's
me,
supposed to
Scotty. What are you talking about? Look, He's playing guitar, right?
Look at him. Why do they put him in a trench coat? He looks like an overstuffed sausage.
He's playing the guitar right there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah?
He's wiping the copious sweat off of himself right there.
It's very tiring work holding a guitar.
We'll see in this shot if he's playing.
All right.
I'm skeptical that he's playing guitar. A king who lived in a foreign land. Oh, where? Oh, foreign land. Okay. Had riches and gold, the envy of every man. Like he's
how
playing.
Bored were the people on the production of this shit, having to listen to this over and over, and do take after take of this bland fucking.
And you got
to
act like you
bullshit.
Like it and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, Steven, you're doing great work here, Steven. I'm loving this song. The song is really connecting with
Steve's,
us, Steven.
He's signing your paycheck, so you got to fucking act like you like it.
Oh, this is look. This is going to change the world, Steve.
I really like the way that you start by singing just three basic notes, and you just do that throughout the whole song. See, it's fucking brilliant. The way that there's no, like, character in your voice. Oh, my God. People are going to just be lining up at the Tower Records
no
to buy
tonal,
this piece of shit.
There's no tonal shift, Steve. Steve, we're hearing monotone, and we like it. Look, you're staying in that range, Steve. You're staying at the safe range that you're good at. You're playing to your strengths, Steven.
I mean,
like that.
Good might not be the word. I don't know.
Right. It's brilliant.
It's brilliant, dude.
He's not playing guitar, though. Let's just be honest.
He's definitely not.
He's brilliant.
I mean, the way
he's
holding
a guitar. Yeah.
I mean, do we need? I mean, like.
I mean, I'm loving it so far. You're not toe tapping,
girl. It's all right. But they're having a good time. Ha.
Girl, it's all right by me. And just, like, stalked this video filled with women that would never fucking look at him sideways.
There's one.
Yep. This is the kind of thing
one might see. Oh, yeah, dude. His Asian fetish is definitely on display.
You know, yep. He definitely made this video to fuck that chick, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, undoubtedly.
You know, I was singing to you, babe. I didn't want to say it while we were filming, but I was singing to you.
Is that him feeling up Katherine Heigl?
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yes, it is. Here, I'll make
Why
it
does Katherine Heigl look like somebody screwed a different head on her body?
I don't know.
What is going on with that?
Maybe that's what happens to you when you get felt up by Steven Seagal.
Wow. Steven Seagal copping a feel on Katherine Heigl.
You know, this must have been a while ago because he's not fat yet.
Yeah.
He's getting there.
He's still boyishly handsome in this picture.
Well, of course, though. Yeah, maybe, dude, obviously he's boyishly.
And look, she's loving it too. She's not even uncomfortable. She's like, "Yeah, grab my titty, Steven."
Oh, Steven Seagal.
If Steven Seagal grabbed your titty, you'd be fucking smiling too.
Oh yeah, do a keto on my titties.
Titty keto. Look at this fucking shot, dude. This wow, their heads merged into one.
Preparing a meal for Steven.
I'm starting to believe you can't play guitar narrative, Scotty. This video does not show him playing.
Show him fucking playing. Yeah, show him actually moving his fingers on different frets.
Dude, this is like rank cultural appropriation here. He's like kneeling at Buddhist shrines.
No one would ever
girl.
Claim this as cultural appropriation because no one wants to even be like
no culture.
No culture wants to even claim this shit.
No one wants to even associate with Steven Seagal. They're just like, that just didn't happen.
You know what? That's just pretend that's not real. You know what I'm saying? That's just pretend that. God. All right, I found another picture of him playing guitar, though.
Okay, let's see. Yeah.
So let's take a look here. You know, he's.
I believe he can't really play. I mean, maybe he can play like one or two notes or something. Oh no, dude!
Truly, he is the greatest rock star of all time.
Oh no!
Is that Steve Vai or Steven Seagal? I can't tell.
Oh, no, dude.
What is he wearing? Why is he dressed like the fucking, like, Dracula from Bram Stoker's Dracula, dude?
Dude, maybe that's the role he's Steven born
Seagal,
to play.
You need to go on a fucking diet, and you need a fucking haircut, dude. What the fuck is going on with you? Like, everything about him is just, no, it's wrong for him.
I wish for you to stay with me for a while.
Maybe he's trying to look like Grimace, dude.
He kind of does.
He's embracing his inner grimace.
His Violet Beauregard's costume from the Blueberry.
Everyone who sees him grimaces. So.
The Blueberry scene costume. He bought it at an auction. He wears it now on stage.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. I do have a couple more Steven Seagal videos I'd like to show everybody.
Cool. Let's take a look.
I'm done watching whatever the
girl,
fuck
it's
this
all
music
right,
video
dude.
Was.
Girl, it's all right. You're 40 years younger than me and would never even look at me. Except I got money.
The action's real.
Lawman.
So this is Steven Seagal's show.
Steven Seagal. Yep.
Lawman.
Get him, Johnny. Get him.
It all began 20 years ago when Seagal,
so when Steven Seagal started scamming people with a bullshit non-martial arts.
Parrish. Oh, it's JP, Sheriff so it's not even far from here. Oh, what was going on?
I think he might. Is he still? So he lives in Russia now, doesn't he? Was
deputized, I think so.
And for 20 years between films, he's been serving as a full-fledged member of the force.
Well, the show is real. I mean, this is not a joke.
No, it is a joke, Steven.
Anytime you have to say that about your show, it just proves
it's not
the
a
opposite.
Joke, guys.
Listen, this is not a joke.
We're not joking.
The really telling thing about Steven Seagal is he's been doing the same fucking demonstration scam for 20 years. It's like, look, I hire these actors so they can fucking do planned falls.
Listen, I swear to God, these cops actually let my fat and that ass ride along with them. I swear.
Has Steven Seagal actually been in any fights that we can actually see?
None that aren't staged.
We're blocked in. What I'm
so
about.
Basically, Steven Seagal is just an actor and a con artist.
Police officers down here in
mostly just
situation.
A con artist.
Yeah, mostly just a con artist.
So this actually happened, and
not far from here, actually.
Louisiana
either.
And Jefferson Parish should both be ashamed. Well,
they also
the real thing.
I actually read he was like a reserve sheriff, and there's actually no accreditation or standards for that. As long as you're appointed, you can basically. So Steven Seagal just got to go play cop wherever he wanted.
Great.
Yeah, that's real fun.
I think I'm gonna have to have you tonight.
Who's wooing for Steven Seagal?
He's got that same purple dress shirt on,
too. Is he going to actually play this time?
Okay, let's see how
he's just holding it.
Dude, does that shirt not look like something that Hillary Clinton would wear to a campaign rally in the summer? Like, what is that?
Yeah, I think we all noticed that.
Okay, so he's clearly not playing. It's a prop.
Yeah.
By the way, guys, actually, before I even show you the next thing, I want to tell you a story.
Okay.
This is a story that was told to me by a very reliable source.
So oh, reliable, okay.
This is 100% a true story.
I doubt that, but let's go with it.
Shh. There were two Hollywood executives, okay?
Okay.
And for some reason, they had to go to this karate tournament, you know. They were there. This is back in the 80s. Steven Seagal was a competitor in that tournament.
And I'm already questioning it because I don't think Steven Seagal has actually been in any karate tournaments.
Well, he did his stupid Aikido shit. I don't know if he was a tournament. He's doing one of his little shows where he touches people and they fall down.
His magic power show.
Here's the thing. There's these two Hollywood cocksuckers in the audience. And they're arguing with each other. And they're trying to... They're basically getting into a dick measuring contest with each other. They're both trying to say, like, they have more clout than the other. You know, one's like, I fucking got Steven Spielberg on speed dial. Well, you know, I could do this and I did this and I got my own fucking office on the fucking Paramount lot and all this shit. Finally, one of them points to the douchebaggiest fucking person they could find.
Which happened to be Steven Seagal.
That's, of course, Steven Seagal. And he points at him and he says to the other fucking producer, you know what? I bet you $5 I could make that fucking guy a star. That's my fucking level of power. And he says, you're on. And so Steven Seagal's entire career was based on that $5 bet to see if a Hollywood producer could make the biggest douchebag in the room into a fucking action star.
Well, I guess we know who won that bet.
Yeah.
With that in mind, I present to you Steven Seagal's net worth.
Wow.
$16 million.
I wonder how much of that came from Lightning Bolt Soda.
Well, we know a lot of it obviously came from the fact that he's been in about 70 fucking movies.
American film actor, producer, writer, martial artist, guitarist, and reserve deputy sheriff, Steven Frederick Seagal.
On most of those accounts, I would say it's a very generous
description. Has an estimated net worth of $16 million, a master of several Japanese martial arts. He writes his shit everywhere.
Yeah.
He is a popular action movie hero whose films combine spiritual concepts and socio-environmental consciousness with high-voltage violence.
What PR person wrote this for him, dude?
Born in Lansing, Michigan, and blah, 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 blah. $16 million.
Dude, that's all garbage.
Even if that's inflated, you know this motherfucker's a millionaire.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, of course.
A few times over, at least.
You know it.
Wow. It says his home in 2010 in Scottsdale was worth $3.5 million.
So, yeah.
What a piece of shit. A liar, a scammer, a con artist, a reprobate, a piece of fucking shit.
A lovable, fat, overstuffed sausage wearing a purple Hillary Clinton dress.
And the lowest of the top tier action movie stars from the 80s and 90s.
Definitely the bottom of the action movie barrel.
I mean, think about this. Stallone, super rich, super successful. Not getting a lot of movie roles anymore, but he's got a fucking
mountain
of money. And he's still doing those Rocky movies. He continued
still in good shape.
With Creed. Creed was a big hit.
Mm-hmm.
He's still playing Rocky.
In the game.
The Expendables, that wasn't that long ago. Those movies were all hits except for the most recent one, whatever. So he's still kind of got this game going.
Still made a lot of money, though, even though it wasn't
Jean-Claude Van Damme, he was kind of has-been for a while, but he's actually...
he's back now.
Yeah, he's doing a big new show, where he's kind of like mocking himself and shit, doing sort of this meta-humor thing. He's kind of embraced mocking what a has-been he is, which ironically has kind of pulled him out of that.
Yeah, it's working for him.
Doing some.
Fucking Arnold, you know, his film career is pretty much dead, but he was the fucking governor. I mean, he's going to have that prestige forever. He's rich as fucking God.
He still does some movies and other shit. I mean, he still has shit going on in his
Even
life.
Chuck Norris, I think, is a rung above fucking Steven Seagal at this point.
He's a meme, at least. Dude.
Not a very tall rung, but I would give
like
him
half
a rung.
A rung.
Yeah.
Half a rung.
Yeah.
Steven Seagal is the bottom of the fucking barrel. Because he's starring in cancerously terrible movies.
He's way too fat to be pulling off any of the shit that he's supposed to be doing in these movies.
He's a fucking... let's see what this says here. He's a film actor. He's a terrible fucking actor. He's never been in a good movie.
Even in his prime, he was just shit.
Even at the height of his fame, he was dog shit. He's never produced a good movie. He's never written a good movie. He's a joke as a martial artist. His fucking reserve deputy stint was just a fucking disgusting publicity stunt / ill-advised move by the fucking Jefferson Parish Police Department.
Yeah, exploitative to say the least.
He's a fucking wangler like crazy. He's grabbing girls' tits. He's trying to get every bitch he knows to hop on his dick. He is a fucking awful musician.
No,
he can't
even play
a fucking guitar.
I gotta stop you there, TJ. Everything Will Be All Right is a beautiful ballad. About a 70-year-old man that falls in love with a 19-year-old Chinese girl.
The girl, it's all right, but close enough, Paul.
Girl, it's all right.
Girl,
just hop on my dick.
It's all right.
Hop on my old, wrinkly, disgusting dick.
But I'm rich, so it's okay.
I'll give you some money if you hop on my old, wrinkly dick.
Actually, the thing that shut down his show Lawman, too, was a lawsuit that was filed against him.
For harassment, right?
The woman did drop the lawsuit, though. Probably because Steven Seagal paid her a bunch of money, but hey, you know.
What a wangler.
So, basically, at least with Tim... even when we did the Tim Allen one, as horribly untalented as Tim Allen is, I could at least get...
There's some bright spots in his career.
Yeah,
you
can kind of at least see, he's the everyman.
He's got a mainstream appeal to him.
And, you know, if you're into tools and cars and shit, maybe that resonates with you. But with Steven Seagal, he's just a fat fucking turd.
Yeah. I don't even get why people still like watching him kick ass, because he's just a big fat... Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's playing on that kind of he's a couch potato, but he kicks ass. I could do this shit.
I think Steven Seagal is totally in denial about how he looks and how he's presented
clearly.
Himself. Yeah, he's still trying to play this tough guy.
There's a good chance he's going to sue us for this episode. So.
Yeah.
I think if Steven Seagal saw this episode, he would probably just be like, hey, people are talking about me again.
All right. Well, we talked about cigarettes. We talked about Steven Seagal. Hope you guys enjoyed. Remember to check out our Patreon. Remember to check out our
this
audio
Friday,
links.
We have some guests coming on the show.
Yeah, we have Hugo and Jake of Hugo and Jake fame.
And the topic will
be Bible
Reloaded.
Gonna or not? We don't ever reveal topics before we do.
Oh, come on, TJ.
No. Yeah.
No. It's a rule of the show.
I'm going to reveal the topic.
We got to keep
them. I'm going to reveal the topic, TJ.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Reveal the topic. The topic is.
No,
the topic is.
No.
The topic is.
It's done.